Dr. Worrell has mentioned about the greatness of God's Word, the accuracy of God's Word, and that so few people have a concern for that, that are in denominational backgrounds, you know, there's other concerns. And so I was thinking about the Lord Jesus Christ, what were His concerns in life? And when we think about our own lives, you know, what are our concerns in life? and what I mean by concern, I thought I'd go to Webster's Dictionary and see what he said. I'm thinking of it in terms of an earnest interest in something as a concern. It could be good, bad, but just there's more interest in that than perhaps other things. And so Webster, part of his definition was that it's a very general term expressing whatever occupies the time and attention or affects the interest of a person. So what basically runs through your noggin on a day-to-day basis and what you're seeking or looking after. And so if you look at the concerns of a lot of people, do they have a concern for what God's Word says? You know, I grew up 18 years not even thinking about the Bible. I mean, I had no, not that I didn't have an interest, but I certainly didn't have a concern about it. I just didn't know about it, none whatsoever, nor the things of God. But that changed. You know, once I heard the Word and I started seeing it, I definitely changed my interest. But one way to sort of tell what a person's interest is and concern is what they talk about. If you know somebody's always talking about watching birds and this and that, you know, they probably have an interest in birds. Or some people are really into baseball, and it seems like every conversation you have with them, there's something that goes to baseball or a certain team or a certain pitcher. You know, not that it's right or wrong, it's just that's where one of their concerns is, their interest in life. So, you know, what about God's Word? It certainly should be a concern or have an interest in our lives. But let's look at Jesus Christ. I thought we'd see what, and we already know the answer, but it's good to see it from God's Word. Let's just go to Luke chapter 2. Jesus Christ is the believer's great example of what it is to walk for God, to love God. And starting early on in his life, he developed a concern for God's Word. And it certainly, we know he didn't have that popping out of Mary's womb. It was developed in him, his parents being probably the primary people to develop that interest and concern for the Scriptures. And he certainly latched onto that, as we see in chapter 2, we'll read verses starting with verse 46. And it says, and it came to pass that after 3 days they found him in the temple, sitting in the midst of the doctors, both hearing them and asking them questions. And all that heard him were astonished at his understanding and answers. So he was endeavoring to learn things from the Word of God. These were doctors of the Old Testament law, and he's asking them questions, trying to put this stuff together. Verse 48, and when they saw him, they were amazed, and his mother said unto him, Son, why hast thou dealt with us? Behold, thy father and I have sought thee sorrowing. He said unto them, how is it that you sought me? Know you not that I must be about my father's business? That was his major concern, is being about his father's business. And he knew to do that, he had to go to God's Word. Let's go to Psalm. You know, everything that is in the Old Testament that we have, he had read and studied and worked. So anything we can read in there, we know he read in there. I doubt, you know, it doesn't say he read the whole Old Testament, but I would be shocked if he didn't read it from cover to cover many, 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 many times. So basically, whatever we can lay our eyes on, we know he laid his eyes on. Psalm 138:2, familiar verse of Scripture. I will worship toward thy holy temple and praise thy name for thy loving kindness and for thy truth, For thou, referring to God, has magnified thy word above all thy name. So he must have understood how God looked at his word and how he placed that, magnified it above everything, all his works. Psalm 12. He developed an interest and a concern for God's word. It wasn't something that just he had from birth. He developed it. And he did an outstanding job. None better. Has ever just kept working God's word and stayed in it like that, like he did, and grew in it. Verse 6. The words of the Lord are pure words, as silver tried in a furnace of earth, purified seven times. So he had read that scripture however many times and recognized that God's word was pure. Let's go to Isaiah 55. He gained an understanding of how great God's word was by reading it. And I'm sure by hearing others teach it and stuff. But he didn't automatically know that. He started seeing how great God's word was and or is. Verse 8. This is a little humbling for anybody who thinks they're the smartest person on earth. For my thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are your ways my ways, saith the Lord. For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts. So that included the Lord Jesus Christ. For as the rain cometh down, and the snow from heaven, and returneth not thither, but watereth the earth, and maketh it bring forth and bud, that it may give seed to the sower, and bring to bread to the eater, so shall my word be that goeth forth out of my mouth. It shall not return unto me void, but it shall accomplish that which I please, and it shall prosper whereunto I sent it. So again, he had to have learned from this. I said that it also included the Lord Jesus Christ in verse 8. I don't know if I could say that accurately, but he certainly learned that God's word was going to come to pass. If God said it, it's going to happen. No man's going to stop that and block that. It's going to, the freight train is rolling, and you just better get out of the way, because you're not going to stop that thing. Let's go to Matthew chapter 4. But he read those things and considered them and developed a great concern and interest for God's word. And I'm not saying it was a struggle. I'm just saying it had to be something that he had to grow in. It may have been easy for him, but still, it had to be developed. Might not have been easy. I don't know. I'm just saying it didn't come automatically. Chapter 4, verse 1. The beginning of his ministry. It says, then was Jesus led up of the Spirit into the wilderness to be tempted of the devil. And when he was fasted 40 days and 40 nights, he was afterward and hungered. I can understand that. And when the tempter came to him, he said, if thou be the Son of God, command that these stones be made bread. But he answered and said, it is written, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God. Well, how did he learn that? Well, it's part of the Old Testament law. It's a requirement. Or it's a part of the Old Testament law. But he recognized that, and he's now quoting that, saying that to the tempter. Verse 5, then the devil taketh him up into a holy city, and setteth him on his pinnacle of the temple, and saith unto him, if thou be the Son of God, cast thyself down, for it is written, he shall give his angels charge concerning thee, and in their hands they shall bear thee up, lest at any time thou dash thy foot against a stone. Jesus said unto him, it is written again. Again he's going to God's word. Thou shalt not tempt the Lord thy God. Again the devil taketh him up to an exceeding high mountain, and showeth him all the kingdoms of the world, and the glory of them. And saith unto him, all these things will I give thee, if if thou wilt fall down and worship me. Most people say, hey, I'll go for that. I mean, how many people sell out to things offered by the world with a lot less? I would have offered them more, but hey, settle for so little. I stopped there. The only way Jesus, I guess the devil thought he'd going to get Jesus Christ is if he offered him the whole enchilada. Okay, I'm giving you everything that's available. How about it? Most people settle for a lot less. But he was offered the entire thing. Verse 10. Then saith Jesus unto him, get thee hence, Satan, for it is written. Again, he's going to the word of God. Thou shalt worship the Lord thy God, and him only shalt thou serve. So it's quite cool. Let's go to Luke chapter 4. He definitely had a concern for God's word, the accuracy of God's word, what it said, what it meant, and that it was to be lived and loved. Chapter 4, verse 16. This is shortly after his ministry began. Very familiar verse of scripture again. Verse 16, and he came to Nazareth, where he was had been brought up, and as his custom was, he went into the synagogue on the Sabbath day and stood up for it to read. And there was delivered unto him the book of the prophet Isaiah. And when he had opened the book, he found the place where it was written. So as we know, they were scrolls, and they didn't have all the chapters and verses like we have. It's very easy to find. He had to literally find it on that long scroll. You know, you have to be pretty familiar with something to be able to, I mean, in anything. In any aspect of life, if you're just going to be able to go right to the spot where there are thousands of other words and you can figure out where it is, it means you've been there before. You know what I mean? Just amazing. But he found that spot where it was written. And this is what it says, verse 18. The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because he hath anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. He has sent to me to heal the brokenhearted, to preach deliverance to the captives, and recovering of sight to the blind, and set at liberty them that are bruised, to preach the acceptable year of the Lord. And he closed the book, and he gave it again to the minister, and sat down. And the eyes of all them that were in the synagogue were fastened on him. And he began to say unto them, I thought this would be a really cool verse to read. Now, this day, is this scripture fulfilled in your ears? He knew what he was doing. He definitely knew. And as we know, he didn't read the last part of that last verse, where then it goes into the book of Revelation. He stopped where he was supposed to stop. He knew what he was doing. He had a very big concern for the greatness of God's word, the accuracy of God's word. Just amazing. And he certainly had an interest in the word of God being fulfilled. In the same chapter here, while we're here, just a little footnote here. We'll go to verse 31. It says, and he came down to Capernaum, a city of Galilee, and taught them on the Sabbath days. And they were astonished at his doctrine, for his word was with power. And in the synagogue there was a man which had a spirit of an unclean devil, and cried out with a loud voice, saying, well, let us alone. What have we to do with thee, thou Jesus of Nazareth? Art thou come to destroy us? I know thee, who thou art, the Holy One of God. And Jesus rebuked him, saying, hold thy peace, and come out of him. And when the devil had thrown him in the midst, he came out of him and hurt him not. And they were all amazed, and spake among themselves, saying, what a word is this? For with authority and power he commandeth the unclean spirits, and they came out. And the fame of him went out into every place of the country round about. And when we do have the accuracy of God's word, and we do apply it correctly, there is great power. Very great power. I mean, they were like, holy smokes. Well, let's go to John chapter 7. John chapter 7. And here are some other scriptures. We're just going to look at a couple of them in John 7 about fulfilling the scriptures. He knew what God's word was to, what he was to accomplish as the Son of God, and he was concerned of that happening. Chapter 7, verse 38, it says, "He that believeth on me, as the scripture has said, out of his belly shall flow rivers of living water." But this spake he of the Spirit, which they that believe on him should receive. For the Holy Spirit was not yet given, because that Jesus was not yet glorified. But he had an interest in the scriptures being fulfilled concerning that matter. Chapter 10, verse 34. Jesus answered them, "Is it not written in your law? I said, you are gods." If he called them gods, unto whom the word of God came, and the scripture cannot be broken, say ye of them, whom your Father has sanctified and sent into the world, thou blasphemest, because I said, I am the Son of God. And he recognized that the word of God cannot be broken. He realized that it can't be broken. If God's word sent his word, like we read in Isaiah, if he sends it, it's going to happen. So no matter what, the devil can't break the word of God. There's no way the scriptures can be broken. Let's go to chapter 13. Verse 18. "I speak not of you all. I know whom I have chosen. But that the scripture may be fulfilled, he that eateth bread with me hath lifted up his heel against me." And chapter 19, verse 28. "After this, Jesus, knowing that all things were now accomplished, that the scriptures might be fulfilled, saith, I thirst." You know, he's hanging on the cross and it's coming towards the very end. And he knew all, you know, he knew the things that were supposed to be fulfilled were fulfilled. And as you know, in John 5:39, search the scriptures, for in them you think you have eternal, you know, these are the things you think you have eternal life. It's searching the scriptures. Let's go to Matthew chapter 22. This is that Ike considered a funny record with the guy that had the woman that had the seven brothers. They all had her.
Just killed them all.
Huh?
Just killed them all.
Yeah. Can you imagine being that seventh brother? It's like, okay, I don't believe it.
No.
I mean, you know, the third and fourth were probably getting a little hesitant, but and the fifth and sixth, but the seventh guy is like, oh, come on.
I wonder what she thought of herself.
And he died. What are the chances of that? So anyway, you know, the record concerning the, you know, this, and at the end, they ask him a question, and his answer to them, after they're really just wrong in the accuracy of God's word. Verse 29, "Jesus answered and said unto them, you do err, not knowing the scriptures nor the power of God." They didn't know what God's word said, and therefore they also didn't really know the power of God. Jesus Christ did know what the word of God said, and as we read that earlier record, you know, he cast out a devil spirit, and the people were like, this stuff is powerful. You know, he operated with the power of God because he had the accuracy of the word. These people erred. Not a good spot to be in. Let's go to Matthew chapter 15. Now, in his teaching ministry, as he taught, there were a lot of people, as we know, that did believe the word and got really blessed, and then there were people who resisted it. And a lot of the Pharisees resisted it, like, no, I'm not, I'm not changing my belief. I think, Jesus, you're wrong. You aren't the Son of God. You're not this. You're not that. But they were bucking up against a block wall. You cannot fight against God and win. I mean, you can fight, but you can't win. Just not going to happen. You know, as it says in Isaiah 55, he sent his word and it's going to accomplish what he, you know, there's no stopping Jesus Christ from coming back. There's nothing that the devil can do on this earth that will so affect mankind that God can't send his son back together as a church. Just not available. There's no stopping it. It's, you know what I mean? It's just that way. And there's the same thing with anything that God promises. If there's a sickness in our body, there's nothing that the devil can do to keep that sickness in there if we operate what God's word says. Just not available. He can't do it. He doesn't have a hold on our bodies or our brains or our circumstances when it's directly affecting us. We can't change what goes on in Italy just by, well, I want it to be that way, I'm going to believe for it to be that way, unless God specifically gave us information that we can believe. But otherwise, Italy's on its own. But our own lives, our own bodies, we're in control. Just the way God set it up, which is great. Well, here's an example of some Pharisees not getting too excited about what Jesus Christ said. Chapter 15, verse 1. But again, we see the difference between truth and error. Then came to Jesus scribes and Pharisees, which were of Jerusalem, saying, "Why do thy disciples transgress the tradition of the elders? For they wash not their hands when they eat bread." Here's one of the major concerns of the Pharisees and the scribes. You know, it's a concern. Maybe it's a good concern concerning bacterial containment. But from a spiritual pleasing God, they're a little off. Verse 3, "But he answered and said unto them, Why do you also transgress the commandment of God by your tradition? For God commanded, saying, Honor thy father and mother, and he that curses father and mother, let him die to death. But you say, Whosoever shall say to his father or his mother, It's a gift, by whatsoever thou mightest be profited by me, and honor not his father or mother, he shall be free. Thus have you made the commandment of God of none effect by your tradition." You're canceling out the truth of God's word by your tradition. Canceling out in the sense of it's not going to come to pass for your life because you're canceling it out. Verse 7, "You hypocrites, well did Isaiah prophesy of you, saying, This people draweth nigh unto me with their mouth, and honoreth me with their lips, but their heart is far from me. For in vain they do worship me, teaching for doctrines the commandments of men." So again, his concern was the accuracy of God's word. What does God's word say? That it should be believed, that it should be lived, and so that it comes to pass. And their concern were the commandments of men, the traditions of the elders at that day and time. Certainly we see that still going on today. You know, some people change when they hear the accuracy of the word of God, and some people say, yeah, I'm sticking with my tradition. But for our own lives, you know, from looking at our own lives, what are my daily concerns? What am I really interested in seeing or doing this day, tomorrow, or this upcoming week? Do I have a concern for the things of God, or is it just whatever it is in front of me at the moment? Let's go to 1 Timothy, lastly, chapter 4. I mean, we all have jobs. I mean, Donnie had surgery this last week. You want that surgeon to pay attention to what he's doing when he's working on you, right? Not like you want him to say, "I wonder what's for breakfast tomorrow." You know, just that's where you want him to be concerned, and so does God. He wants that person to be locked in on what they're doing, if it's the right thing, you know. so that there's a positive thing that goes on. Our little great nephew had a surgery, I guess at this point, 2 weeks ago, a week and a half ago, heart surgery. He's only a little fella, 3 weeks old now. The surgery was 9 hours long, so that surgeon was standing there for 9 hours. So, you know, any bodily twitches, bodily functions that he's got going on, he's got to ignore them and just stay put on. And it's so small, they had to do it on a, where they magnify it. It's like a video. The veins are so small, they can't see them, so they magnify it. So you're just in whatever position he's in for many hours. And if he's got to go to the bathroom, it's going to have to wait. It's a concern, perhaps, it is, but it's not going to be what's front and center. You wouldn't want him to say, hey, let's take a 10. I got to have a smoke, a little snack. You know, it's just, I don't know how they do the details, but you don't want your doctor doing that for you. So there are plenty of things that we have to do in a day's time to live life, but certainly the Word of God has got to be part of it. Chapter 4, let's go to verse 13. As we know, this is to Timothy, a man of God that's helping to move the Word in Paul's, you know, taking over Paul's ministry and for the continuance of the Word of God. And here's something that was very important for that man of God to have a concern about. Till I come, give attendance to reading. You know, all the recent novels. I'm sure it's in reference to the scriptures. To reading, to exhortation, to doctrine. Neglect not the gift that is in thee, which was given thee by prophecy with the laying on of the hands of the presbytery. When he was ordained, there was a prophecy given, and he was to hold on to the words of that prophecy, whatever it was that was spoken to him. He was to hold on to those words. Pretty cool. I think probably all of us have gotten married, officiated by a minister who knew God's word, the accuracy of God's word, who, and probably prophesied during that ceremony, and you know, those words that were spoken. I mean, it's not prophecy of a prophet, but they're certainly kind of specific. You know, have we held on to those words? I don't even remember what they were. Honestly, I got a recording of it, I have to go back, but I think I've done it. But Timothy was specifically told to neglect not those words, you know, the laying on of the hands of the presbytery. Meditate, think about upon these things, give thyself wholly to them, that thy profiting may be appear to all. Take heed unto thyself and unto the doctrine. Continue in them, for in doing this thou hast shalt both save thyself and them that hear thee. But again, it's that concern for the Word of God. And that God's will was for Timothy to keep his heart and his thinking and his life in the book, so to speak. Because if he didn't, it would get swept out of his life. So, but Timothy, when he was born, didn't have that concern. None of us did. All we had a concern was a natural desire to eat and to poop and to cry. That was about it. And we didn't even know. You know, just our bodies were doing its own function. But somewhere along the line, we started hearing God's word and starting to pick up an interest. And, you know, God likes that. He wants that. And the Lord Jesus Christ, boy, at the young age of 12 years old, he was asking some very serious questions of how God's word fits together in the Old Testament. Because the doctors of the law were astonished at his understanding. That tells you he was a little more advanced than the average kid at 12 years old. We're just glad that our kids at 12 years old are even picking up the Bible. But he was really working it. at 12 years old. Amazing, really amazing. So, but, you know, the Lord Jesus Christ concerned for the accuracy of God's word and the things of God par excellence. And we endeavor to try to imitate that at least to some degree. We want to.